Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the 16mm Film Crew. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Dale.
You can watch us on YouTube. You can like and comment on our YouTube videos and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can listen to us everywhere podcasts are found at 16mm Film Crew Podcast. Leave us a rate and review. You can support us on Anchor. And you can visit us on our website at www.16mmfilmcrew.com. So this week, we are talking about Napoleon. Napoleon is a look at the military commander's origins and his swift, ruthless climb to emperor, viewed through the prism of his addictive and often volatile relationship with his wife and one true love, Josephine. This movie stars Joaquin Phoenix and Vanessa Kirby, and it is directed by Ridley Scott. So, Dale, thoughts on this movie?
I don't know. Ridley Scott's one of those directors who's, in my opinion, he's probably one of the best directors of all time. I'm saying that up front before anybody calls me any kind of thing, anything. But he's also a director who is really inconsistent with his projects. I felt going into Napoleon, I'd get something more out of it, especially with all these amazing biopics of a lot of famous people coming out, like we just saw Oppenheimer, you know, Chevalier's kind of set during the same time period. And I was left wanting more out of this. Like, I felt like Ridley Scott just wanted to make a movie and just use Napoleon as a substitute for the story, but not really embracing the Napoleon-ness of his story in a way. So, yeah.
What do you mean by that? I'm curious.
I don't know. I wanted more with Napoleon. Like, we got some glimpses of, you know, him. You know, some people, you know, theorize he was probably, like, about his personality, you know. I wanted more scenes of him at battle, you know, all the wars he fought, something that a little bit more, you know, the turmoil back home in France, you know, a little more insight into his uprising, not just one battle and honestly becoming a general, and then him and his brother coalesce and take power. I want to look a little bit more spice to it, and I didn't get any of that. Like, and I understand why historians kind of don't like this movie either. Like, the scene in Egypt where he goes toward Egypt and all they do is show him firing cannons at the pyramids, like stuff like that. I wish we got more of those, you know, thematic combat scenes, which he's really good for. Like, I'm a big fan of Kingdom of Heaven, and those, like, sweeping scenes of, you know, the two armies going against each other clashing were beautiful, you know. So that's what I'm saying. I feel like this project he wasn't really passionate about. It was kind of like a stopgap before we get to, you know, Gladiator 2, you know.
I actually really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was really well put together, well directed, well acted. I actually really appreciated that we weren't just getting a whole bunch of battle scenes. I feel like that would have made me really, like, exhausted by this film. Like, I don't know, because when the film is about, like, a person who is a general or a soldier or something of that nature, you usually just get, like, a bunch of battle scenes. Like, I know people pan Alexander, that movie, but, like, there were, like, a lot of battle scenes, a lot of them traveling here and there, showing, like, as he kind of conquered Eurasia. Like, and that's not totally interesting to me. Like, I appreciate some of it, like, when it's done well. Like, for example, when I was watching this, it was giving me Game of Thrones vibe. Oh, goodness, sorry. It was giving me Game of Thrones vibes. And I think the battle sequences were really well directed. I know he put, like, 14 cameras and just, like, let it rip. So, like, he didn't have to reset all those things. And, like, that's the type of director I would be, when I'd be like, this is going to take too much time, so let's just put a bunch of cameras places and just shoot it. Like, that, like, that's, I don't think it's lazy, but I think it is kind of funny. Like, that's something I feel like I would do. Just being like, we're going to cut the time and cost and just throw a bunch of cameras at it and see what happens. But I liked that even as they were shooting the battles, there was a scene, I don't know if it was the French against the Prussians or the Russians. I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly which one it was. I think it was the Prussians, where they're having the battle on ice and then they kind of fall through. And you can see the blood in the water and stuff. I was like, ooh, that's really good. I really like that. So I did like how he did the battle scenes in that there wasn't like a ton of them in there, and that we actually got to focus on Napoleon's character. And I will just say, I don't care about Napoleon. Like, I watched his documentary, like, you know, on those Sabbath evenings, you know, when during summer when the sun doesn't set until like 8 o'clock and you have nothing else to do. Like, that's why I was watching that. But I don't know. He seemed like a kind of nothing person to begin with. Like, he didn't seem that interesting. He rose because of his military strengths, but like as a human being, like, I was just like, he's kind of problematic. Like, we just watched Chevalier earlier this year, and he like tried to erase this man's history. Like, he's kind of racist and terrible. So like, I wasn't hot on like, yes, Napoleon, like, let's watch this man rise to the top. Like, I don't care. But I felt like he made it interesting in the fact that this is a person who really is like a narcissist beyond like what you're used to seeing, really. And especially not in position of power, because, you know, people who in power are usually like obsessed with themselves. But I think in a place where like everyone kind of applauded that about him, the fact that he was so like, I can fix France and I can save this country. Like, it's me. Like, I am the one. And that narcissism is really crazy, but like, it topples over into his relationships. And I thought the best part of this film was him and Josephine. Like, Joaquin Phoenix and Vanessa, like, whatever weird dynamic they had, I really enjoyed watching it, because it was toxic beyond like belief. Like, this was the messy energy I was like actually here for, because I was like, okay, this is interesting. Like, I didn't know anything about the relationship, so it was really interesting to see that dynamic. And that's also to me where kind of the unexpected comedic elements kind of popped up. I mean, it popped up here and there, but like, especially like the hard cut to the sex scenes, that was funny. Like, it was just funny. It really was. So I feel like this film is, to me, way better than House of Gucci, The Last Duel, even though The Last Duel had some good stuff in there. I enjoyed this more than I enjoyed both of those films. And, you know, that's just
That's fair. I mean, when I talk about the combat scenes, I did find them a little bit lacking. But those personal scenes where there's a lot of inter-character play, I wish there were kind of a lot more. I want to know a little bit more about who he was in Napoleon. Because for me, a lot of the movie was like a really struggle to watch in some parts. I really wish there was more of more of the stuff that was going on in France and that whole political rise to power and stuff, and those issues were more at play. Like, majority of the movie is either him and Vanessa Kirby arguing about not having an heir and having sex, and then I'm overseas at war. Like, that wasn't Napoleon's whole, you know, dynamic. And I understand why that's the way it was, because his story was painting his thematic experiences of going to war along with his relationship with Josephine side by side. So I get the artistic point, but I really wish we got some of those, you know, those personal character moments a bit more, you know?
Yeah, I felt like maybe this is like the closest I've understood this figure. Because I think with a lot of people who are like great or like deemed to be great people in history, there's not a whole bunch of like stuff going on with them. Like, they're not as interesting as you would think they would be. Like, even today, like, the people who are like most lauded for doing a whole bunch of great things in society, usually like in the tech space or something like that, like, these people aren't that interesting. Like, they have a lot of money, so like, I guess that makes them interesting. But like, who they are as individuals, they're kind of weird. And like, that's what I was getting from this. Like, to me, Napoleon, like, in 2023 would be like a rich tech billionaire, like, who is very strange and who just feels like, you know, we can take all of humanity and put them on a spaceship and go to Mars and like live there. Like, that's the kind of energy that I was getting from this movie. From his character. I was just like, yeah, he would be one of those people. Because although I think he cared about France deeply, I just think that his ambition to like be someone was the only thing that really mattered to him. And I feel like even in his choice of being with Josephine, it was more about, because she had a lot of social graces and she was really well connected and stuff, it was more about getting that class, getting that status from her, than it was more than it was maybe just more about her personality and who she was. Like, because again, another rich woman who didn't really seem like she had a lot going on. She went through some stuff. Like, I watched a documentary before I saw this, but like, again, rich woman in Paris. Like, that's like, that's kind of what her life had been for a long time. Again, she went through things, but like, it seemed like he very much like used people to just his advantage. Like, whatever made him seem more great in his, you know, his destiny and his glory and just feeling like he was like the savior of France, that's what he did. And I like that little line that they had between them, Vanessa and Joaquin, where they were like, "You're nothing. Tell me it. Like, say it." Because I think that's probably how he felt about himself. But like, he had to make up this entire lore just to believe like he was important. Even though, I don't know. I don't know if that was really true. I mean, it was true because people believed it, but internally, I don't know.
I mean, that's where Napoleon complex comes from. You know, you lack, you don't have, so you overcompensate for what you don't have. But yeah, you're on a point. I wish they had also spent a lot more time with Josephine, because you only get like a quick blurb where he returns the sword to the sun, and then he meets her, and then all of a sudden you go straight to them at a restaurant. He drags her chair over. And then next scene, them talking, and she like briefly covers her experience being arrested and them cutting her hair and her being R-worded and stuff of that while she was arrested. And that was it. Like, and then it just skips to her, you know, while he's off at war having affairs. Like, I wish we also spent a lot of time with her, because her as a character is funny, because she also represents what he himself was trying to fight for revolution in France. Like, the aristocracy and those and rich people. Like, she was already rich and powerful, you know. Her husband dies and then she gets arrested and whatever, but then she marries Napoleon, and those same habits continue with like the rich people. That's why they made the whole cabinet like renounce their positions, because it was the same aristocrats doing the same stuff. So I wish we still got those moments from her as well, because she's a reflection of what he's trying to change France from, but still attracted to in a way.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I actually think that like, if someone else told the story, it would have been more interesting, I think, to have put him in the context of the history that was happening. Like, they did kind of, like, they definitely did in the beginning. And I guess, like, if you're directing a movie, it's like, okay, what do you put in? What do you leave out? There's like a long history of this person. So like, how much stuff do you include? So he could have included all the stuff from before his come up and before her come up, but like, that would have been like a 4-hour movie. And I think that's what he was intending to do. So like, I think there is a 4-hour version of this movie out there. I will not be watching it, but I think that does exist. So it's just a lot of stuff. Like, there's too much information. So it's kind of hard to like parse what you're going to keep and what you're going to let go. But I do think it would have been interesting to put them kind of, not have him be the sole focus, but have him just be one of the many people who kind of came through France to run. And they kind of did that a little bit in the beginning with Marie Antoinette and Robespierre, you know, the people who kind of set off the revolution to get it to the point where Napoleon can have his come up. But I do think the fact that like, he was fighting for this revolution, and like, honestly, if you weren't on the side of the revolution, you died. Like, that's the reason why Josephine's husband died. So the fact that he was fighting for the revolution of France and then ended up being emperor, it is very confusing, because it's like, aren't these the principles that we fought a whole revolution over, like, not to have a king or queen, like but to be people under a, I guess, somewhat democracy? Like, They missed the point. Like, someone missed the point along the way, because I feel like they just reverted back to the exact same thing that they had before.
Yeah.
And he wanted that too. Like, he wanted the power. He wanted to be in a position of power, even though I don't know how suited he was to it. But like being good in battle and actually dealing with the like day to day running of government, like those are two different skills. So
yeah.
I don't know how I don't think he did well, because that's why people were, I think that's why he was in more of a position to be exiled, because like everyone was like, well, what you're doing isn't working. So anyways, I said all that to say, I do feel like putting it more in a historical context might have been a little bit more interesting. And you can do the intimate character stuff. You can actually still even keep the, you know, him and Josephine, that whole relationship dynamic, keep that, because the thing with her is like, it's not like she really did anything either. Like, she was just there, out here being wealthy, like, and being the wife of the emperor. She wasn't really contributing much. So it's like, there's not a lot to glean from her life either, but I don't know. There was a different way to do this if they wanted to do it differently. But I think Ridley's thing was, and also Joaquin, because apparently Joaquin was like rewriting things. Like, they were both
being Joaquin.
Yeah. And when we talked, I was talking about this the other day when I was talking about Gladiator, when Russell Crowe was like rewriting the whole script. So like I don't know, there's a vibe where you can just like, if you're that powerful enough in the industry, you could just be like, yeah, I don't like this, I want to change it. And that's what they did.
Basically, if you're the lead actor in a Ridley Scott project, you can dictate the script, basically. But yeah, I mean, I don't mind in the movie itself not being really historically accurate, because, you know, this is like we've had movies like The King with Timothy Chalamet, based on Prince Henry of Wales, and his rise to power wasn't really historically accurate, but the movie was still engaging. You know, you had Outlaw King with Chris Pine the year before that, him playing Robert de Bruce, you know, trying to get independence during the Scottish Wars. Wasn't 100% historically accurate, but it was still engaging. So I do think this movie, like, the historical accuracy is not dependent on movies like this, but as long as it's engaging, and I think that was the issue with Napoleon. It wasn't as engaging as, you know, a lot of people were expecting it to be. So,
well, I'll say that I don't care about the historical accuracy either. I feel like historical accuracy doesn't mean good film. Like, yeah. Marie Antoinette is not a historically accurate film.
No.
But it's still great, in my opinion. I love the film.
And also, the thing about it not being historically accurate, I can always say, oh, wow, this movie made me interested in the person, and then I can go learn the history afterwards.
Go watch the documentary. That's what they're there for. You know what I'm saying?
So, you know.
I did not care about that at all. I was like, okay, sure. I knew enough to be like, okay, these battles happened. I knew that. I knew that him and Josephine got married. I watched the documentary, so like, I knew enough. I was like, fine. Like,
what was it during the end? They were like, oh, I was like, Battle of Waterloo. I was like, oh, I know that shit. I know that one.
We know.
I know that
and, one. Yeah. So that's not really a concern of mine. I think that, like, maybe in a way of like Killers of the Flower Moon, where you're like following the characters, but then these moments of history slip in where you're like, oh yeah, I remember that event. Like, that's bad. Right? Like, you would have those moments. You would have that one character who was a part of KKK. Like, it was like, it was threading itself within history in a way that I thought was done really well. This is historically something, because this is a historical figure. So like, some of it is there, but like, in terms of how accurate it needs to be, I don't think that that's necessary when it comes to making films.
Like,
unless you're making them about people of color, then I'm going to be like,
it's historically adjacent. And honestly, In movies like this, I think the only people who would probably actually complain about it not being historically accurate are probably somebody who's French, who's like grew up learning Napoleon. That's like with us, like you said, black people, we know it. We learn verbatim MLK, Martin Luther King. We learn, that's that's our wheelhouse. If you put on a Martin Luther King movie or a Malcolm X project and it's not accurate, you can get flamed. So I think the only people who probably would complain about this other than historians are probably French people, because it's a part of their cultural identity of Napoleon. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think, didn't Ridley say something about, like, the French don't like themselves or something? I was like, oh.
I think he just really was like, look, for the past, like, 2 or 3 weeks, really was just talking mad shit about everybody, like, Scorsese, yeah. Everybody leading up to this movie. Basically, I don't care what nobody thinks. I'm gonna do this movie the way I want to. And, hey, props for him. But he was just, like, throwing shots left and right in every direction. And I think that's probably what tainted probably the critics' response to this movie, is how he was just shooting, he was taking shots at everybody, you know, yeah, leading up to the release of this movie.
I think it's because he's really old, like, he just doesn't care anymore. Like, he was telling a reporter to F off, like, he's unhinged, he's out here just saying and doing whatever, like, he has to be stopped. I know that the critics have issues with this movie, and I think that's fair. Like, if you don't vibe with it, then that's fine. But I do think it's maybe being, like, harshly treated. I'm not really sure for what exact reasons, because I think overall it's a pretty solid film. Like, so it's one of the better things that I've seen this fall, I'll say that.
Yeah, no doubt. I just wish we got more from Vanessa Kirby, because she's a wonderful, she's so a wonderful great. Character actress. But yeah,
I love her.
Of course, this is like these roles, like. Like Joaquin, like, he finds his wheelhouse when he's playing somebody crazy.
Yes.
Like, he's an actor who vibes really well with crazy characters, and that's why I also wish he wouldn't play them so often.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like Joaquin's an act. Like, I think actors complain about being typecast, but I think Joaquin's an actor who's purposely typecast himself in those roles. You know, but yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so we hope that you guys are taking care of yourselves and doing well. Make sure to check out all of our social media. Support us if you can, and we will see you in the next episode. Goodbye.
Au revoir.